49. Cabal. Maul's first impression of the weapons shop was that it was more of a surgeon's operating room than a workspace. A long, brightly illuminated theater of apparent sterility, whose every surface seemed polished and clean. At the moment, however, he was more preoccupied with the identity of the one who'd beckoned him inside.
"Come in," the moon said, still standing inside the open hatchway. "I just got here myself."
He smiled thinly.
"We've both certainly earned a look around, to say the least."
Maul regarded him coldly. Whatever else he might have been, the individual standing in front of him clearly wasn't a prisoner of the Hive. His uniform was IBC standard fiduciary garb, the green tunic and trousers exactly what one would expect of a galactic financial executive. The banking clan's presence here, in an illegal weapons operation in the middle of a prison, raised more questions than it answered.
"I'm Vesto Slipher,"
the moon said, and then, as if reading Maul's thoughts, he added,
"Believe it or not, my purposes here aren't entirely at odds with yours. Not as much as you might think. But please, step inside."
Maul entered the chamber and looked around, his mind quickly absorbing and processing a dozen different details simultaneously. The shop was swarming with activity. Inmates he'd never seen before, human and non-human alike, stood in rows before the assembly tables, sorting components from different crates, passing them back and forth among themselves, putting them together by sense of touch. Maul stood observing them for a long moment, trying to process what it was that bothered him about them. They functioned in nearly total silence, but there was something peculiar about them that he couldn't quite put his finger on, until one of them raised his face in Maul's direction. And then he saw. They had no eyes. Their empty eye sockets were caves of blindness, raw and dark and hollow. After a moment, the inmate who'd been facing Maul turned back down to the partially assembled weapon in front of him and returned to his work.
"Radik removes the eyes,"
Slipher said conversationally.
"Apparently it's a prerequisite to working down here. Another safeguard, I suppose. A means of preserving absolute secrecy."
Maul said nothing. He was remembering his very first day in the mess hall. The blind inmates that he'd noticed sitting off by themselves, groping with their food and utensils. That was how they lived. Now, except for the soft click and snap of assembled parts, the only sound was the faint rustle of the clawbirds, who had settled into the far corner of the room, into a kind of makeshift nesting area.
"What are they still doing here if Radik is dead? Don't they know?"
A flicker of motion caught his attention from the far end of the shop. There was someone in the corner, his wrists and ankles bound. A guard that Maul recognized. The one called Smite. He'd been gagged, but his eyes were huge, gleaming with a mixture of anger, fear, and confusion.
"Ah, yes,"
Slipher said, noticing that Maul was looking at the guard.
"Apparently, we're not the only ones who found ourselves down here. I'm quite sure Mr. Radik would not like the idea of an intruder ransacking his arsenal. Would you? Particularly someone as unsavory as Mr. Smite here."
"Radik is dead,"
Maul said.
"I killed him."
"Dead?"
Slipher glanced at him for a moment, then laughed.
"That's funny," he said. "You know, for a moment, I almost believed you."
"It's true."
"Oh no, Iram Radik is very much alive, I assure you. The weak way that you killed in that last bout was a proxy. Radik has a dozen of them in circulation at any time to ensure his own safety."
"How do you know?"
Maul asked. Instead of answering, the moon turned to look at the rows of blind inmates as they painstakingly assembled the components on the tables in front of them.
Do you know what they're building?
Weapons.
Not just weapons, Slipher said. Lightsabers.
Maul felt something go tight in his chest.
What?
Synthetic lightsabers, Radik's newest innovation. A radical departure from anything that's been accomplished up to this point. Apparently it works on a synth crystal.
The moon walked over to the end of a long counter and picked up a sleek red gem, holding it up admiringly to catch the light.
They're baked in a geological compressor. Can you imagine the power inside just one of these?
Ah,
a voice spoke from behind him.
But power is in the eye of the beholder, is it not?
Maul knew who it was even before he turned around and looked down. Coyle was standing there, peering up at him.
What are you doing here?
I called him down, Zero said, as he stepped through the hatchway and sealed it shut behind him. After I sent a message summoning Mr. Slipher, I felt like it was time we all met face to face. Maul stared at him.
The poison,
he began, and then he remembered the one who had first told him about it. Coyle smiled and gave him a slight, apologetic shrug as if to say,
what is life but a riddle that none of us can answer?
You really think you could have slipped anything remotely dangerous into my food without my being alerted about it first? Zero asked. Jagannath. You continue to surprise me. Maul looked at their faces, from Zero to Coyle to Slipher, and then back to Zero again.
You've found your way to Radik's inner circle, Zero told him.
The backbone cabal, if you like. The Clawbirds recognized it when they brought you here. Zero reached down into the crate behind him, drawing a blaster rifle from inside it and pointing it at Maul's chest.
Unfortunately, this is where it ends for you. You've seen too much. Mr. Radik would never allow you to leave.
Maul looked back at the rows of eyeless inmates, hunched before the workstations, silently assembling the weapons. A possibility had taken shape in his mind without his realizing it, but he saw it now clearly.
They're not functioning properly, are they?
He asked. Zero hesitated. What?
Radik's synthetic lightsabers. The crystals aren't working like he thought they would.
How did you?
Slipher began, but Zero silenced him with a look.
We're having no such problems.
Tucking the blaster rifle under his arm, Zero walked over to the workspace, reached into the packing crate, and pulled out a long, cylindrical shaft, holding it up for inspection.
Then you won't mind a demonstration,
Maul said.
Go ahead.
He took a step forward, tipping back his head to expose his throat.
Use it on me.
For a long moment, Zero didn't move or speak. Then, with the lightsaber still in one hand and the blaster in the other, the Twi'lek turned to look across the workspace to where the guard, Smite, was still glaring at them with a gag in his mouth, his hands and ankles bound.
Bring him over here, he said.
Coyle walked over to Smite and, with strength that belied his size, he picked up the guard and slung him over his shoulder like a sack of laundry, carrying him over to Zero.
Cut him loose, Zero said.
And when the Chadrafan hesitated, go ahead.
He's not going anywhere.
Shrugging, Coyle plucked a sharpened, question mark-shaped object from his back pocket. Some claw or tooth from some lesser species, no doubt scavenged from one of his sculptures, and hooked it through the plastic restraints on the guard's wrists, snapping them free. Zero turned to Smite.
Take this,
Zero said, handing the lightsaber to the guard and nodding at Maul.
And kill the Zabrak.
Smite stared at the lightsaber. The gag was still over his mouth, but Maul could see all kinds of things going on in the guard's face. Anger, humiliation, uncertainty, and ultimately, a kind of murderous resolve. He flicked the switch. A narrow red beam shot out from the lightsaber's hilt. The beam was thinner than any that Maul had seen before. And instead of humming, it crackled and hissed unsteadily from base to tip. Weird, oscillating skeins of plasma writhed up and down the length of the beam like hundreds of semi-transparent serpents. On the whole, it looked even more unstable than the man holding it.
Go ahead,
Zero said. A terrible kind of righteousness came over Smite's face, as if, in grasping this weapon, even in its most bastardized state, he'd arrived at a moment of supreme, almost sacred, self-actualization. He lifted it up over his head, preparing to bring it down on Maul's exposed throat. He was still swinging it down when the blade arced sideways, looping back on itself. Maul saw it slash around like the tail of a scorpion, something alive and venomous, hooking through Smite's face and carving it cleanly in half, then jerking sideways. The guard didn't have time to scream. His right arm hit the floor, the red blade still flicking and leaping erratically from his limp fingers, chopping what remained of Smite's body to pieces before it finally crackled and died out in a spreading lake of dark arterial blood. They all took a step back from what remained of the corpse. Coyle mumbled something under his breath. Zero was staring at the malfunctioning lightsaber, his face unreadable. Slipher looked as if he was going to be sick.
Well,
Maul nodded at the synthetic lightsaber.
Mr. Radik won't be pleased with that.
With a grunt, Zero brandished the blaster rifle he picked up earlier.
Forget that. We don't need it to kill you.
I could help you with your problem,
Maul said. Slipher was watching him very closely now, alternating glances between him and Zero.
How? When I was a mercenary, I assassinated a Jedi once,
Maul said.
It gave me the opportunity to study his lightsaber closely, to disassemble it. I was able to reverse engineer the components themselves, to study its design. I could fix what's wrong with these.
You're lying, Zero said. His finger tightened on the blaster's trigger.
You'll say whatever you have to in order to save your skin. And now, you're...
Stop.
The voice on the intercom was not one that Maul had heard before. It rang out through the shop, clear and deep and resonant, filling all available space. At the sound of it, every one of the blind inmates at the long counters stopped what they were doing and turned their faces upward, as if they could somehow see who was addressing them. Zero, too, was looking up at the recessed speakers in the ceiling of the room, though he still kept the blaster trained on Maul.
Mr. Radik.
Let the Zabrak speak.
Maul bent down and picked up the blood-soaked lightsaber from the disfigured corpse that had once been Seo Smite. Working quickly, without speaking a word, he snapped open the latch on the hilt and tipped it forward, allowing the various micro-components to slide out into his hand. It took less than 10 seconds for him to sort through them, plucking out the synth crystal and holding it up for inspection.
This is worthless.
Maul dropped the crystal to the floor and crushed it under his heel.
Your process is flawed. It's too unstable. It's possible that your geological compressor isn't generating sufficient heat and pressure to fully fabricate the proper crystalline structure. All these lightsabers are going to do is kill their users.
He lifted his head upward in the direction of the voice.
I can make them function properly.
There was silence in the room. It seemed to go on for a very long time.
But I need something from you in return.
Moore said.
You know what it is.
The silence came again, longer this time. Unbearable. Moore waited.
An eternity. And another.
Kill him,
the voice said. And Zero pulled the trigger.
Behind the mask.
The Twi'lek's finger was still tightening on the blaster's trigger when Maul threw the disassembled lightsaber at him. The pieces struck Zero flush in the face, more of a distraction than anything else, but it bought Maul enough time to lunge at him, knocking the Twi'lek to the floor. The blast he was firing went wild, caroming off the ceiling and ricocheting to the floor. Maul took hold of Zero's throat, already knowing that killing him was pointless, that there was no way out of here even if he slaughtered all of them, that in finding what he'd been sent to find, he'd only signed his own death warrant. It was too late now. Even Zero seemed to realize that. On the floor beneath Maul, he was shaking his head, laughing at him bitterly.
You idiot!
The Twi'lek said, spitting blood.
You think this is going to solve anything?
Maul didn't answer. He drove his fist into Zero's chin, and to his great surprise, he felt the inmate's entire face shiver and go sideways, his flesh appearing to split open and then peel back with a gelatinous suddenness so unexpected that Maul stopped his attack and stared down at him. The Twi'lek mask was dangling halfway off the newly exposed face of the man underneath him. Maul stared at him, stunned. He knew this face, or one very like it. It was the Warden of Coghive 7, Siddiqui Blur, but in a masculine form.
He says that you answer to another name.
Dakarai?
Vesto Slipher said. The moon sounded even more shocked than Maul felt.
What?
Dakarai Blur rose to his feet and tore the rest of the mask away from his face, flinging it away, where it landed on the floor in a misshapen heap. He looked completely indifferent to Slipher, and to Maul for that matter. His full attention was focused on the ceiling.
I can explain!
Dakarai said quickly, and Maul realized two things simultaneously. First, Dakarai was talking to the voice that had given him the instruction to kill, the voice of Iram Radik. And second, Dakarai was very scared, for reasons Maul could not determine.
I needed the disguise to move among the inmates, the man said, in order to program the algorithm. It allowed me to serve you as well as my sister. Neither of you needed to know. Neither of you could know. It was really the perfect solution. I could meet with you as Zero, and...
Finish him, Coil,
the voice said.
Wait, Dakarai said. You don't have to do this. You can just...
The Chadra Fan acted without hesitation. Picking up the blaster rifle that Dakarai had been holding just seconds earlier, Coil pointed it at him and fired, discharging a single shot. The point-blank impact flung Dakarai's body backwards across the shop, and he landed in a lifeless heap beneath one of the assembly tables.
Mr. Slipher,
the voice on the intercom said, as if nothing had happened.
You may proceed as planned.
There was a pause.
Take the Zabrak with you.
Vesto Slipher managed a queasy nod.
Yes, Mr. Radik.
Without bothering to look back at Maul, he started out the door. Maul followed. "51. To the hold." The trip only took a few minutes, although to Maul's mind it seemed to go on much longer. He stood beside Vesto Slipher in the turbo lift, both of them staring straight ahead, neither one speaking. Too many things had happened too close together, and Maul needed time to process them all. The revelation of Zero's actual identity had clearly been a surprise to everyone, including Radik himself. Yet in a way it made perfect sense. As Inmate Zero, Dakarai had been able to help the arms dealer coordinate the arriving weapon shipments while monitoring the inmate populace and programming Coghive 7's matching algorithm. Keeping secrets from Radik and his sister must have felt like the perfect double life. His mistake had been thinking he could mislead everyone indefinitely. And Radik himself. Maul couldn't stop thinking about that voice, its unfathomable strength and power. His thoughts flashed back to the way that, when it spoke, every one of the blind prisoners, rows of convicts who'd willingly given their eyes to serve him here, had turned their faces upward toward it, as if toward deliverance itself. It made him wonder if this man really was a man at all, or something else altogether. The turbo lift continued its steady ascent.
"What's in the cargo bay?"
Maul asked finally. Slipher kept his eyes straight ahead.
"Mr. Radik is having a new geological compressor delivered with today's shipment."
His voice still sounded unsteady.
"I've arranged to have it received via binary lifter and held for me there."
"So he knew there was something wrong with his lightsabers?"
"I'm assuming he did. He seems to know everything else."
"Well," the moon considered, "almost everything."
"How long have you worked for Radik?"
"Worked for him?"
Slipher gave a dry chuckle. It came out eerie and humorless, like the nervous tick of a condemned man.
"Technically, I still don't. I came to Coghive 7 as an employee of the IBC, and I'm here representing other interests as well."
He tugged at his collar and swallowed audibly.
"You might say that I was unexpectedly recruited by Mr. Radik during my tenure here. My understanding is that's how it works."
"How what works?"
"His whole empire. One often finds oneself serving his purposes without realizing it."
Maul grunted. The interior lights of the turbo lift flickered off for a span of several seconds, and the faint illumination of the object in Slipher's hand, the thing he'd called the Blue Witch, emanated up over their faces in an eerie blue glow. Maul peered at it incuriously. According to the banker, the device masked them from all electronic surveillance inside Coghive 7. They'd been using it in Radik's weapon shop, though for how long he didn't know. Certainly such a device would come in handy in a place where all the walls had surveillance cameras mounted within them.
"We both find ourselves in the same regrettable situation,"
the moon said.
"We are dutiful servants dispatched into this floating landfill, forbidden to leave until we provide our masters with the information they seek."
He gave a melancholy sigh.
"I might as well be wearing an inmate number myself."
"You know nothing of my mission."
Slipher gave him a glance, cocking an eyebrow.
"I know you're here on behalf of the Bandor Gora,"
he said,
"in an effort to procure some unthinkably destructive weapon and put it in their hands."
He cast Maul a sidelong glance.
"Does that summarize it properly?"
Maul said nothing. For a moment, he entertained the notion of simply killing this self-pitying plutocrat right here in the lift, snatching the Blue Witch and finding the loadlifter droid himself. What could Slipher's presence here possibly bring to their arrangement now, except the ever-present possibility of betrayal? Money stands at the nexus of all things, the moon said. Those who moderate its ebb and flow inevitably find themselves at the confluence of the galaxy's deepest secrets. Even the most confidential information arrives almost as an afterthought.
Do you ever stop talking?
Slipher sniffed, seeming only moderately offended. I was merely explaining how I ended up in this position. Maul kept his arms at his sides, but his fists were already clenched. Visions of leaving Slipher here in the turbo lift with a broken neck were growing steadily more vivid in his mind. Your position here is hopeless, you know, Slipher told him. Even if you were successful in bringing them here, Radik will never do business with the Bandogora.
We'll see,
Maul said. And of course you know that Komari Voza is in charge of the Gora now. He tilted his chin slightly, raising the witch in his hand. You are familiar with Voza's background, are you not?
More underworld scum. The galaxy's thick with it.
Not quite.
Voza is the high priestess of the cult.
I'm told that she maintains a fortified citadel in Kolmar and uses narcotics and advanced mind control to manipulate an entire army of operatives and assassins to do her bidding. And then, almost as an afterthought, and of course she's still extremely lethal with a lightsaber. Maul shot the moon a look of thinly veiled shock.
What?
Oh, yes, she's a former Jedi, Slipher said casually. Surely, given your background, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. At first, Maul said nothing. At his sides, his hands had already balled into fists, squeezing tightly until they began to tremble.
What else do you know about her?
Who? Voza? The moon feigned innocence. Oh, very little, I'm afraid. Her nearly psychopathic levels of aggression apparently prevented her from becoming a true Jedi Knight. Nonetheless, she joined a Jedi task force to stop the Bandogora's activities on Baltazar. His expression darkened. Unfortunately, the mission proved a catastrophe. The cult abducted Voza and dragged her off to the burial moon of Kolmar. What happened next? The moon shuddered theatrically. Well, by all accounts, they tortured her to the very brink of madness. The point where she embraced the dark side of the Force, slaughtered those who had kidnapped her, and became the true leader of the Bandogora. Slipher glanced back at Maul. She started out as a Jedi, however. Is that significant? Maul said nothing. At last, the lift came to a halt.
If they're waiting to take us, Maul thought, this is where it will happen.
But as the doors slid open on Coghive 7's hangar bay, there were no guards waiting there to take him into custody, no armed corrections officers lying in ambush. The only activity in the bay came from a small detail of tactical landing technicians who were too busy wrestling with a pile of pallets and skids on the opposite side to take much notice of them. Relax, Slipher said. The landing techs aren't armed, and they don't carry drop boxes, so they can't trigger the charges in your heart.
I wasn't concerned.
Maul stepped out into the bay. The space was huge, erratically strewn with packing debris and empty shipping crates waiting to be returned on the next flight out. Across the open space, he saw the binary load lifter that Slipher had spoken of, although the immediate mission seemed far from his thoughts.
She's a former Jedi.
Had it not occurred to his master to tell him of this? Or had its withholding been part of the larger challenge that he'd come here to face? The realization that his mission on Coghive 7 would culminate in confrontation with a Jedi, albeit one whose powers had been corrupted into a life of organized crime and cult-based lunacy, plunged a dagger of bitterness deep into Maul's brain. It would not be Vesto Slipher that Komari Voza would be facing when she and the Bando Gora arrived here, Maul decided. Certainly, his own master intended for Maul himself to dispatch the Jedi scum personally. Was that the true test? Still seething, he slipped quickly across the hangar bay, moving through the shadows, leaving the moon behind.
What are you doing?
Slipher hissed as he hurried to keep pace.
You need to stay with me.
It's been too long since I've killed something,
Maul said.
Be careful, or it might be you.
Don't be a fool. Our mission here requires both stealth and my active participation, and you know it.
Maul silenced him with a glare. But not just a glare. For the slightest of moments, he allowed himself to reach out with the Force. The moon faltered in his steps, mouth opening just wide enough to emit a glottal clicking cough, taken aback by the invisible vice grip of pressure taking hold around his neck and chest, choking as he labored to draw breath. Maul found the sharp expression of shock and fear on the banker's face only mildly gratifying, given these extenuating circumstances. He kept Slipher there for a split second, prolonging the sight of the moon's eyes bulging in their sockets. Then, leaning forward, he spoke in a whisper.
Komari Voza,
he said quietly,
is not the only one with the skills you mentioned. You would do well to remember that.
What?
Slipher's face tightened in an ecstasy of disbelief.
You!
Maul squeezed harder. Perhaps it was the explicit mention of the Jedi, or simply his own inability to hold back any longer. But suddenly, all he wanted was to snap the neck of this insect and finish what he'd started. Only then did he realize the sheer magnitude of his transgression, a betrayal of his purpose here, the one thing that he'd sworn not to do. Releasing Slipher, pushing him away, he pivoted and approached the larger of the binary loadlifters, stepping around behind the droid to avoid being seen by the hangar's crew members, then cast a glance back at the moon.
Is this the one?
Yes.
Slipher reached up and touched his throat, still badly shaken. He kept his distance, eyeing Maul as one might regard a vicious animal whose true nature had suddenly become abundantly evident.
I have to give my authorization first.
Then do it. We've wasted enough time.
Slipher turned to face the droid's photoreceptors, looking deeply grateful to have something else upon which to focus his attention.
IBC Yellow Card Security Variant 377055, he said. Voice verify consultant Vesto Slipher.
Verifying.
The droid echoed back, joints creaking with a series of soft hydraulic noises as it straightened up.
Command prompt.
Access analytical upgrade subroutine 1188. I'm here to pick up a package.
Accessing.
Another muffled hissing noise.
Input data format.
The CLL unit muttered something in binary that came out sounding like a series of mismatched tones, ending with a defeated electronic gurgle. Bennett's photoreceptors went dim, and it dropped both of its flat, spatulate arms to the floor with a sharp metallic clang that rang out through the hangar like blaster fire.
You!
On the far side of the hangar,
Maul saw the crew of cargo technicians turning from the empty stack of packaging cartons to stare across the open space at them.
Identify yourselves! What are you doing down here? Don't come any closer!
Slipher called back.
He's going to kill me!
The crew members froze and drew back. Glancing quickly at Maul, the Moon threw his hands into the air.
My name is Vesto Slipher. I'm a field support analyst for the IBC.
He cast a fearful glance at Maul.
This prisoner, inmate 11240, abducted me from my quarters and brought me down here as a hostage. He's trying to escape on the freight barge when it arrives. Alert the warden!
Then, casting his eyes at Maul once more, the banker couldn't seem to repress a small smile.
I suppose you ought to have killed me when you had a chance.
Who says it's too late now?
Maul asked.
Tell me how to fix the lightsabers.
Slipher murmured.
And I'll do whatever I can with Warden Blur to see that you walk away from all of this. Otherwise, there is nothing that I can do to guarantee your safety.
Maul felt the space around him closing up like a trap.
Where's the geological compressor?
It must have not arrived yet.
Raising his voice again, Slipher called out to the men across the bay.
You man, stop wasting time! Hurry! Before he...
Shut up!
Reaching outward, Maul snatched the blue witch from the Moon's grasp, then turned to the gathered crew members who were staring at him from across the bay. Slipher's moronic outburst hadn't left much to work with, but it was enough.
Don't come any closer, Maul said. Stay right where you are.
Inmate 11240, one of them shouted back. What's that in your hand?
It's a plasma detonator.
Maul held up the blue witch just high enough that they could see it, raising his voice to be heard across the hangar.
High-grade industrial munitions.
Doesn't look like any detonator I've ever seen.
Take another step and you'll see all you need of it,
Maul said.
Who wants to be first? Don't be a fool,
Slipher murmured.
You can't.
Maul shoved him away in the direction of the other men.
You've done enough. You're cutting me loose?
The Moon reared back, incredulous.
That's insane. They'll kill you in seconds.
I'll take my chances.
Jamming the blue witch in his pocket, where its glow could be seen through the fabric of the uniform, Maul turned back to the load lifter that stood behind them. Taking hold of the thing's manipulator arm, he swung himself upward onto its main control console.
Inmate 11240, what are you doing?
Maul ignored them, focusing his attention on the load lifter. The thing's processor cowling was a single metal plate, and he pried it open, popped the bolts, and yanked it off to expose its central processor. Thanks to Trez's instruction back on Orsis, he'd had some experience slicing into the basic motivator drives of labor droids. They all were built relatively the same.
Inmate 11240!
Stay back.
Working instinctively, he found the thing's upgraded cognitive drive and isolated the wiring that he needed to reprogram it manually. It wouldn't cause the load lifter to do anything more than malfunction, but right now, a malfunction was all he needed. The droid lurched forward, jerking its right leg up, manipulator arms raised above its head. The load lifter's great gyro-stabilized joints slammed past Slipher as it stormed headlong across the open landing deck, instantly colliding with a stack of shipping cartons. Crates fell, pallets crashed. Maul had already jumped back down, landing on the floor in a tuck and roll as one of the load lifter's enormous flat manipulators swung in a huge arc, upending a 10-meter-high stack of pallets and skids in front of it. The empty skids tumbled, crashed, and splintered in every direction. Then it pivoted and started off in the direction of the loading crew. The men scattered, most of them heading for cover, while the deck supervisor ran for the communications center overlooking the cargo hold.
Across the hold, blue strobes began swirling on both sides, splashing the walls with light. As the load lifter pivoted and began scooping up what it had knocked over, only to dump the pallets on the opposite side of where it stood.
Fool!
Slipher's voice sneered behind him, and Maul glanced back over his shoulder to see that the moon had already gotten to his feet.
Did you actually believe you could abandon me here?
He thrust out his hand.
Give me back the Blue Witch.
Maul said nothing, but it didn't matter. The banker was talking again, caught up in his own outrage and oblivious to the load lifter advancing behind him.
My intellect is vastly superior to yours in every imaginable capacity.
Slipher sneered.
Even if there was any chance that you could...
Those were his last words. All at once, from less than a meter behind him, the load lifter's flat manipulator arm came arcing upward. It caught Slipher at neck level at a perfect 45-degree angle, severing his head neatly in one easy slice and sending it spiraling through the air. The entire action was almost silent. For a split second, his decapitated body seemed to hang there on its own, and then it crumpled to the floor of the hangar bay as the load lifter's right foot came down on top of the body, crushing it beneath the full tonnage of its weight. It was an unceremonious death for Vesto Slipher, arguably one of IBC's brightest young minds, dispatched without fanfare by a machine as brainless as he was brilliant. And in the end, no one in the known galaxy seemed particularly to notice. Maul, for his part, didn't even bother looking back. Through the chaos on the far side of the bay, he saw the lift that he and Slipher had come from. He could make it from where he was in less than 5 seconds as long as none of the loading crew had blasters, which he doubted. He ran.